The 910 Comedy
Podcast Network.
Welcome to Marital Tests, where we invite you into our marriage to debate the not-so-important topics, discuss each other, and more. I'm Tim.
I'm Karen.
And we're a couple of married geeks who often get very passionate when we discuss super important topics like our favorite TV shows, personality traits, and what we even talk about after our biggest episode ever.
I know, that's kind of like, where do we go from here?
Right?
Last week, if you missed it, we announced our pregnancy. And
your pregnancy.
Oh, that's true. God. I'm going to be a great wife, I guess. Because I'm so inclusive of you as my husband.
Right,
which is a little nod to what we're going to talk about tonight. But anyway, we just wanted to say a quick thank you to everybody who had such lovely things to say and how well the episode was received. And
yeah, we had a lot of fun. That was a long episode.
It was very long. We promise.
We recorded it twice.
Tim, don't expose us. Tonight will not be that long. We promise we'll go back to our regular format. But yeah, we just wanted to say a quick thank you. And it was just very special, as you know, if you listened, for us to be able to announce that to you finally.
We're super excited, you know, to share this whole thing with you. But we're not going to make every episode about the pregnancy.
No, definitely
We're not going to become a pregnancy podcast.
No. Although I will say tonight, I am miserable and I'm mad because I was told that in your second trimester, you feel better and I feel worse. So I'm just going to complain for 20 seconds and then say, how are you, Tim?
I'm doing all right. I'm very happy that the cat's out of the bag now.
Yes, finally.
I've been wanting to share that for so long.
It's a relief.
We released 24 hours early because we couldn't wait any longer. Yeah. Or like 12 hours early, whatever.
So we're back to like 25-minute episodes and recording and releasing on Saturdays.
Yeah,
so
and doing back. More lighthearted, you know. We'll definitely talk about the pregnancy here and there, but that's not why we started this show.
Right. We're going to take it a little bit easy tonight, I think. And, well, I say easy, but Tim's going to kind of put me in the hot seat a little bit.
we're going to start this one by, before I even ask the question, it's going to be no. Just knowing your personality, you are going to fail the test of, would you have been a great wife 100 years ago?
Yeah, you're right.
Good wife. Sorry. A good wife 100 years ago.
Probably not. Probably not.
No.
So this is a quiz that I found that is based on a book that was published in 1917 from a book called Private Sex Advice to Women by Dr. Arby Armitage, who wrote that the purpose of his book was to, quote, give enlightenment to those entering into wedlock so their married life will be one of happiness and pleasure. So the people who created this quiz basically like read the book and then made questions. I haven't seen any of these questions, but I guess they made questions off of like what he says. And frankly, this is written by a man also.
Frankly, I don't know which is more disturbing, a man writing a book telling a woman how to be a good wife or a woman writing a book telling a woman how to be a good wife.
I would rather hear it from a woman because at least.
Yeah, but why do we need to tell people how to be wives?
I mean, that's not how they felt in 1917, apparently.
So it's a little more than 100 years. But we're going to go through the 15 questions.
Okay.
And Karen's going to answer all these to find out whether she would have been a good wife 103 years ago.
So what, at the end, I guess after all the questions, it'll tell me if I would have been a good wife back then?
Yes, and the answer will be no.
Okay, cool. So spoiler alert, it will be. I haven't taken the quiz. I haven't seen the questions. And I don't think Tim really has either.
I have not.
We are back to not preparing for these episodes.
Right. there may be some explicit content, especially given this first question.
Okay.
Which of the following is a vulgar term for hymen? Sacred membrane, maidenhead, God's barricade, or wedding wall?
Jesus Christ.
I feel like I know the answer to this one.
I think I'll go with wedding wall.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's Maidenhead.
What? Why?
I remember hearing it, like, somebody says it, like, ironically in a song or something. Like, there's, like, some 2000s rock song or something that mentions
a Maidenhead.
No, you're thinking Iron Maiden. The next question.
Wait, are you right or am I right?
It was Maidenhead.
Jeez Louise, that's disgusting.
And if anybody can remind me what the song is that says something about Maidenhead, please let me know because I cannot for the life of me remember. Which of these is an actual euphemism for menstruation? River of Life, The Courses of Woman, Womanly Tides, or Winds of Womb?
Can I just say something? Tim is a very big fan of podcasts, and one of the categories that he likes of podcasts are trivia podcasts. Uh-huh. And I feel like this is like merging your two interests.
Marriage and trivia.
Which are hanging out with me and like trivia podcasts. But to answer the question, I guess I'll say Womanly Tides.
Womanly Tides. That's what I would have guessed, too.
Okay.
The answer is The Courses of Woman.
Ugh.
The Courses
of Woman. How does that make you a good wife to know, like,
to know the proper way of referring things, referring to things?
Louise.
Next is, what is quickening? When sexual arousal causes your heart to beat with increased rapidity?
Mm.
When a pregnant woman can begin to feel the baby's movement from within her womb. When a young couple go from chaperoned nighttime dates to unchaperoned daytime dates. Or when a young couple must effect a hasty wedding ceremony because the woman is with child.
I know the answer to this because I am currently pregnant. And it is when a pregnant woman can start to feel the baby's movements in the womb.
Well, the last one,
they still call it
shotgun wedding.
That's a shotgun wedding. But like they still call it that today. Like they still call it the quickening of the womb and things like that, which is like, I get it. Like, I get it. It's the least gross of the answers.
Yeah. So it is, according to Armitage, it's one of five physical signs of pregnancy. The other four are cessation of menses, enlargement of the breasts, darkening of the tissue around the nipple, and enlargement of the abdomen. Those are the five physical signs of pregnancy.
Well, doctor, actually, you are right that those are some of the symptoms of pregnancy. You are correct. But that's like a long time to wait to get that like fifth symptom. Like I'm just imagining the couples are playing like pregnancy bingo back then in 1917. And they're like, I can't feel the womb quickening yet. That doesn't happen for a lot of women in their first pregnancy until like 20 weeks.
Right.
So right. That sucks.
Yeah. So question number four, what should a pregnant woman consume plenty of each day?
Oh, tell me, doctor. I'm looking for suggestions at this point.
Is it milk, buttermilk, and fermented milk?
Ew.
Dried fruits such as prunes, raisins, and apricots. Pickled cabbages, or all meats save pork and organs.
Ugh. You know, this was in 1917. I feel like the era of like meat was in like the 50s, right? Like everyone had like a burger and a cigarette for dinner.
I don't know. Probably.
So I'm going to go.
Steak and a cigar?
I'm going to go with pickled cabbages.
Pickled cabbages is the wrong answer.
Dang.
Apparently, you are supposed to prepare for the whole breastfeeding thing by consuming milk, buttermilk, and fermented milk.
Ew.
Armitage recommended that when pregnant, women consume plenty of milk, buttermilk, and fermented milk. He didn't say why. Calcium? Protein? Pour yourself a pint of buttermilk and think on it.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
What is fermented milk?
Right.
And B, imagine drinking buttermilk. Like, I'm not a milk drinker regardless.
To be fair, it says consume.
Like, what? You're going to, like, osmosis it into your body?
Make your mashed potatoes with it.
I guess.
And is fermented milk, like, cottage cheese?
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think is that it's, like, cheese, right? It's, like, fermented milk.
Sure. Sure. This one you have a 50-50 shot on.
Okay, cool.
True or false, it is a sign of immortality, or at least low ideals, for a woman to experience sexual emotions or feelings, wishes, or desires.
Wait, did immortality mean something different?
Oh, sorry, immorality.
Okay.
I was like, immorality. Hey. It is immoral for a woman to experience sexual emotions, feelings, wishes, or desires.
There's still witch hunting in 1917 for those immortal beings. I guess true, right? Immorality, like you don't want a woman to feel feelings.
Actually, Armitage says it's okay.
Wow.
He says it is natural for a woman to experience normal sexual feeling as it is for her to experience any other feeling aroused by the natural instincts and organism. But he added that she must acquire self-mastery and self-control over those feelings. So you can feel them, just can't do anything about it.
Okay.
Says Armitage. Let's remind our listeners, if you're listening to us this far, we don't actually believe these things.
God, no. If you couldn't already tell from our, cadence and my disgust in general.
Next is, why should a woman refrain from drinking liquor around men she's not related to?
I already know the answer to this one, and I bet it's because they think that liquor makes a woman more sexually deviant or something.
When under the influence of alcohol, her sexual morality falters.
Boom.
Drinking alcohol is considered a vice of fast women.
Ugh.
A morally correct man wouldn't squander his attentions on an inebriated woman. Alcohol damages the womb. To imbibe around men shows that she has little regard for her body as sacred vessel, or all of the above.
Ooh, the all of the above threw me. You know what? I'll go with all of the above, actually.
No. It's the sexual morality falters.
That was my first instinct.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Alcohol temporarily paralyzes a woman's sexual morality.
Stop.
Which also makes them vulnerable to men who might prey on them.
Okay. So the whole
victim blaming.
Yeah. Thing that's at least back 100 years, if not more.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah.
I know it's well beyond 100 years.
Don't you know it's always the woman's fault? Again, don't actually believe that. I'm saying sarcastically, please don't cancel us. Question 7. How should married couples handle intercourse during pregnancy?
Oh, we do need to know. We need to know, doctor. So please tell us.
Intercourse should not be indulged in pregnancy under any circumstances.
Yikes.
It can be done in extreme moderation. It should be done once per week in order to keep her husband's attention from wandering. It should be done every 4 weeks because monthly orgasms increase blood flow to the fetus.
Okay. How would I
know what I would guess
how
here.
Would I actually answer this, or how would a person in 1917 answer this?
What's the right answer?
I don't know. The fact that it says anything about her husband being the main person of concern for sex during pregnancy at all makes me feel like that's the right answer.
Yeah, is that your answer?
That's my answer.
No, it can be done in extreme moderation.
What is extreme moderation?
You are extremely middle.
No.
You are the Joe Biden of intercourse.
What does that mean? I hope he defines what that means, because that could mean anything to anyone.
Sex during pregnancy should be avoided if possible. But because total abstinence is very difficult for most men, says the author.
Most men.
That's what it says. And indeed something they wouldn't actually observe. Having intercourse in extreme moderation is okay. Jury's still out on whether the wife's sexual appetite is factored into this equation, so stay tuned.
It isn't.
It's all about the man.
The wife's sexual appetite / her ability to do anything physical / the health of her pregnancy. None of that matters. None of that. It's only because the man can't abstain from sex.
And have you noticed that most of these questions about being a good wife in 1917 are all about pregnancy?
Right? Or menstruation.
Well, and here we go with another menstruation question.
Okay.
And what about sex during menstruation? It should be avoided for health reasons. It is considered unclean in spirit and should be avoided. It's encouraged as the experience of climax might lessen abdominal discomfort or cramps.
That's actually true. Ladies, if you have really severe period cramps, get you an orgasm, you will feel better. Like, that is actually true. I don't know if that's the right answer, but yes.
And we apologize if you can hear our dog barking. We're not sure what's going on.
He's like howling.
And here's this term again. It can be practiced in extreme moderation.
I mean, you only have your period for like a week, a month. So that's already pretty extremely moderate, in my opinion. But I mean, what I would actually answer is like, it's encouraged because like, but like, they don't care about a woman having an orgasm. So
yeah, but did we know that this was the case a year, 100 years ago?
I don't know. I'm going to say that they would say it's unclean. Isn't it like the Bible that says like a woman needs to be out in like a tent with like no linens, or the linens are burned or something like that?
I don't know exactly, but is that what you're going with? Is the unclean in spirit?
Yeah.
It should be avoided for health reasons.
For health reasons. Whose health?
Armitage says that while the natural aesthetic repulsion of sex during menstruation should be enough to repel both parties.
My God.
There are medical reasons it should be avoided too. First, it can cause congestion in the uterus and ovaries. Second.
It would be a man who thinks that his dick is so powerful that it can literally clog the organs of a woman.
Second, it may cause the man to contract an inflammation of the urethra. And third, it might aggravate the woman's discharges. Too long, didn't read. It should gross you out enough to make you want to avoid it. But if not, still don't do it for health reasons.
A man would think that, though, back then and even today.
Yeah,
I did. And today. God.
What can help determine the sex of your baby?
Oh, you know, there are all kinds of like old wives' tales that say this even now.
The position in which you conceive, the timing of conception,
okay,
the mother's diet in the first few weeks of pregnancy, and you cannot, only the creator may.
Ew. You know, the third one reminds me a little bit of that one episode from How I Met Your Mother where like Marshall's trying for a boy and Lily wants a girl. And like one is like, eat a lot of lemons. And the other one's like, avoid lemons. I think they would think that it's the diet.
The diet?
Yeah, I've heard that before, actually.
You are correct.
Woohoo!
Armitage reveals that though most studies on the topic have been on animals, the going theory is that abundant nutrition in the first few weeks of pregnancy produces girls. And a lack of abundant nutrition results in boys.
Oh, my God. Imagine like a couple who's trying to have a boy and like the husband makes the woman like starve herself, basically, because they think that is what's going to make them a boy.
Thankfully, we know better now.
Yeah, that's such stupid thing to have ever thought, because like your genes don't just appear, like they always exist.
Sorry, I need to make sure I feed you.
That your genes exist from conception, right? So yeah, no.
Question 10, pain during menstruation, we're back to menstruation, is not normal and should be treated how?
Okay.
Discarding of unhygienic clothing and tight shoes.
Shoes.
What does that have to do with menstruation? Of unhygienic clothing?
What's unhygienic clothing?
How does that have to do anything with pain?
Do they mean like if you bleed into like your underwear, you should discard it?
I guess. But what would that have to do with pain?
Or shoes. Like how do shoes play into this?
Removing pastries and pickles from the diet. Mm-hmm. Encouraging movement of the bowels.
Good luck.
Drinking water.
Okay.
Exercise like housework. And all of the above.
Catch me doing a lot of exercise.
No. Not exercise. Exercise like housework.
Oh, so like existing normally then?
Your entire exercise regimen is cleaning the house.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to say drinking water because that's the only thing that is actually even like a medical thing. Like typically when you drink water, you feel better. So I'm going to go with that.
All of the above.
Ew.
Pain is not a normal feature of menstruation and is indicative of other health problems, says Armitage. Mm. If you are experiencing a painful menstruation, you must address the health issues actually causing the pain. Sounds like someone hasn't asked that many people about their period experiences.
What do... I'm not sure what the discarding tight shoes and removing pastries and pickles from your diet would do. Like, do pickles make you sick
The only thing I could think of as far as the pickles go is the acidity might make things worse.
If anything, it's, like, salty. I mean, I guess it is pickled in vinegar.
That's the only thing I could think on the pickles. But what does pastries have to do with anything? Question 11. I think we've already answered whether or not you'd be a good wife in 1917.
I mean, you said from the beginning I would be a horrible wife. I'd be, like... a witch, like, yeah. Really? Yeah. Like, they would have me executed.
Oh, yeah. And that's to say nothing of our sister show, Dead Girls Talking. They would have actually been burned alive.
Or I'd be, like, a spinster because, like, no one wants to, like, mess with me. No. Because I'm, like, the weirdo. No. So I just become, like, the town creep.
What is probably the cause of vaginal discharge? Which is a gross phrase.
Your body.
Yeah, yeah. Your body. But just the phrase vaginal discharge is not...
Oh, my God.
It's just not fun to say. But...
Cervical mucus. That's a fun one to say.
It, in and of itself, is not necessarily disgusting. It's just a disgusting phrase.
Tim.
Anyway.
Tim. Wait. Wait. It's that guy who says that having vaginal discharge is a sign of an unhealthy vagina. It's him reincarnated.
Remind me, what are we talking about?
That song that Cardi B did.
Oh. And
he said his wife said, like, that means you're unclean or unhealthy. It's him. He's
what's his face? Ben, what's his
Shapiro?
Face?
Shapiro?
Yeah, Ben Shapiro and ben the Cardi Shapiro. B song.
It's so nice to meet you, doctor. Dr. Armitage.
What is probably the cause of vaginal discharge? A prodigious sexual appetite? Reading too much, especially novels.
Ooh, scandalous.
Changing your sanitary napkin infrequently during menstruation. Your sanitary napkin.
Remember when they called it a sanitary napkin? No. I don't. Because that's gross.
Unbalanced diet. And there is no one cause. It's a natural and normal occurrence.
Well, of course they would never say that because that's actually true.
Maybe this guy was actually, like, progressive for his time.
Maybe, but based on the previous question so far, I'm going to go with unbalanced diet.
Unbalanced diet. No, changing your sanitary napkin infrequently during menstruation.
Ew.
Basically, it's an infection.
Golly.
According to Armitage, changing your sanitary napkins at least every morning and every evening prevents infection and discharge. Big, if true.
That's too infrequent. Like, I mean, I don't want, like, maybe some people have different flows and things like that, but twice a day is too little. So, to his point about it being, like, a problem when you don't change your stuff. That's not enough. If you wear, like, a pad or a tampon, if you change it twice a day, like, that's not enough.
Okay.
Straight up.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I'm going to call this next question, a blank away keeps the whores away. What decreases illicit sexual relations, sexual immorality, and prostitution?
Mm.
Daily bathing and nightly Bible readings. Refraining from passing time with men to whom you're not related. Mike Pence. A close bond between mother and daughter. Earlier marriages or getting married younger. Or all of the above.
You know, they say in SAT prep, when there is presented an option of all of the above, you should answer all of the above. And that has been true, I think, 50% of the time for these questions. But I really hope, because I like to think, or I don't like to think, rather, that, like, you know, back in times that were not modern, and even in modern times, you know, just depending on your perspective on what's going on currently. It's a lot like The Handmaid's Tale. I would really like to think that he would have written that it's daily bathings and nightly Bible readings. But actually, you know what I'm going to say? Refraining from spending time with men that you're not related to.
Okay. Well, so I thought you were going with the daily Bible readings. Oh. So I selected that. Either way, both of them are wrong. Earlier marriages. This is a quote. It is generally conceded by students of sociology that earlier marriages tend to decrease the causes of the evil of prostitution, illicit sexual relations, and general sexual immorality, and the consequent spread and existence of the venereal diseases which have followed in the trail of such relations, says Armitage. Pretty hardcore way of minimizing your chances of contracting VD, but hey, to each their own. I think I speak for a lot of early marriages when I say that getting married early does not keep the cheating away.
Maybe that's just your perspective because we live in Fayetteville.
That could be.
Where if you're not familiar, it is a military town, and not making any generalizations or assumptions here because I never served in the military, but I have heard musings among those who have, let's say, that it is encouraged, you know, the culture of getting married whilst in the military, which is generally among the population of people who are like 18 to 24, typically. Yeah. And I wouldn't say that many of those marriages are successful.
No, not at all.
In the long term, for, you know, however you happen to define that. Some of them are, no judgment, but that is just what I have heard.
Three more to go. When it comes to men, it's a matter of common knowledge that among physicians that blank.
Wait. When it comes to men,
it's a matter of common knowledge among physicians that blank.
Okay.
Physicians know this about men.
Okay.
Men who remain unmarried at 30 almost certainly have syphilis.
Yikes.
Married men living in large cities indulge in extramarital sex. Men who engage in self-abuse, masturbation, are more likely to indulge in sex outside their marriages, or all of the above.
The all of the above has seemed to fail me more than succeed in this test. So I'm going to say men who engage in self-abuse are cheaters, or whatever he said.
No, married men living in large cities indulge in extramarital sex.
Okay.
Armitage says that it's a well-established fact that married men, especially those in large cities, engage in illicit sex because, get this, they're afraid to get their wives pregnant.
Well, clearly it's not the men who got married young, because right. Those men aren't cheating.
Right. Which of the following is an ingredient for a homemade solution that women should douche with twice per day to minimize discharge? This is going to be a fun one.
Baking, I feel like I know the answer to this, actually.
Baking soda, borax, a mineral used in detergents.
It's that one.
Bleach diluted in warm water, baby powder, minced garlic, or all of the above.
I think it's borax, and I think I've heard this before.
You know what else borax takes care of? Leviathans. for our Supernatural
nice
fans.
Throwback Supernatural right? reference.
Season 7.
That was a throwback.
You are right. Borax, a mineral used in detergents. White fluid hydrastics, tincture made from a stem. 2 ounces, borax 1/2 ounce, distilled witch hazel extract 1 pint. Use of this preparation 1 ounce, diluted in a pint of lukewarm water as a vaginal injection. Twice each day. P.S. Do not do this.
No, don't. No.
No, that's what it says. P.S. Do not do this.
Yeah, if that's not implied, please do not. First of all, don't douche. Don't douche your vagina. Second of all, do not put cleaning supplies inside of your body at any point for any reason.
No.
Goodness gracious. I don't know why I've heard of that before. Like, I don't know where I would have heard that, but I just, yeah, I just knew that was the answer when you said it.
Our last question to determine whether you would have been a good wife in 1917.
Do I have any chance at this point?
No. What does this refer to? Quote, although he is loath to admit this and is apt to place the blame entirely upon the woman. So this is like the,
What statement
is this modifying, basically?
Okay.
When his wife keeps getting pregnant, it's because the man isn't pulling out in time.
No, they want their wives to be pregnant because, you know, yeah, that's the only thing that matters.
When a couple is unable to conceive, it might be the man who is sterile.
Mm-hmm.
When a man is unable to maintain an erection, it's often due to his own mental state. When a man cannot abstain from drink, it's because of his own lack of self-control.
Well, I don't think they cared very much about if men stayed away from alcohol, so I don't think they would really care to admit that they are drinkers back then. I think they, again, would never blame the man for being unable to maintain an erection, because then they'd just be like, dude, your wife is not good enough or something. I mean, and I think that they would have wanted to have been pregnant at all times for every reason. So I think I'll, based on like the process of elimination, I'm going to go with when they're unable to conceive, it is the man's fault sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's either the conceive or the erection, because like the modifier is, although he is loath to admit this and is apt to place the blame entirely upon the woman.
Yeah.
So is he going to blame her for not being able to conceive or for not being able to maintain an erection?
I feel like none of those things make me confident that any man back in 1917 would have been like, you know what, honey, maybe this is on me.
So you want to go with the unable to conceive?
I guess the conception one.
You are correct.
Wow.
That when a couple is unable to conceive, it might be the man who is sterile. Armitage says that when a couple is having trouble conceiving, the man should be examined first, because venereal diseases frequently produce sterility in the man, although he is loath to admit this and is apt to place the blame entirely upon the woman.
Wow.
Well, well, well.
Well, well, well. I mean, sure. Also, it's easier to test the guy. I mean, all he has to do is like jerk off into a cup and like, it's like an invasive exam for the woman, but, you know, sure, we'll go with that, too.
So the results don't say you would have been a bad wife.
Okay, how many did I get right?
It doesn't say either. It says you don't know that much about sexual health 100 years ago, but maybe you learned a few things from the quiz, like that they had some stuff super backwards.
So this isn't really like, would I have been a good wife? It's like, what do I know about like sex education?
I guess.
Back in 1917.
This was your quiz.
Which is like, I guess, really essential in like a marriage, yeah. I guess, in their perspective.
And
like,
I think what we learned is that at least in some ways, we've come a long way in 100 years.
I guess.
Not completely, but in some ways.
Yeah. And again, like, you know, it depends on your perspective and who you ask. But yeah, I mean, I think that at the very least, these like things are not necessarily like being advised to women by men. And like there's a larger community of women who can support other women who like have questions or who have problems or concerns or something like that, when that probably didn't really exist back then. So if, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is replaced by someone who wants to see us reversed back into those times, then, you know, at the very least, we have each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please note that none of this is advice. We are not medical experts. Do not listen to anything we said except for entertainment value.
Please don't insert borax into your vagina. Like, I don't think that any of you would need to be told that, but apparently back in 1917, people did have to be told. It still kills me. It still kills me that like the man who wrote this was like, well, your dicks are so big that they're like blocking the process of menstruation.
Right,
they're blocking organs and tubes and things like that. Like, good job, boys, go get them. But for your wife's safety, for her safety, maybe don't stick that huge thing up there so that you don't, like, make her implode. That kills me so much. And it's so funny because I feel like some men still feel like this.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Marital Tiffs.
I don't know, guys. I don't know what to say. If you have anything to add, or if you want to take this quiz and see how you would have done compared to me, then we have some ways you can do that.
You can weigh in on all social media at Marital Tiffs on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also email us at maritaltiffs@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe anywhere you find your podcast. And if you're an Apple Podcast listener, please rate and review us. You can find us on the 910 Comedy Podcast Network. Check out 910 Comedy on Facebook and check out our sister shows, That's Just My Face, Hometown Crowd, and Dead Girls Talking. Thanks for listening to Marital Tiffs.